Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's incomes, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour and Shabbat Shalom. As well as on the World Wide Web at WHKWRadio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, whose call is to share biblical gold nuggets with you, particularly about the end times. And I hope you're taking notes today. Hey, but you can always re-listen to the show later this week on ShofarMinistries.net. And so as we do every week, we're going to begin with prayer. We'll ask God for his blessing on this program and to all the listeners who have set aside their current cares of this life to receive more of Jesus through his word. Father, we thank you in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, for the opportunity to teach the body and open our ears and our hearts to what you have to say to us through your word. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us, and we thank you for the airtime. And we thank you for all our listeners today and all those that have called in and written and emailed us with prayer requests. Lord, that we want to lift those up to you today. Honor their requests. Help us grow our faith through your word. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And thank you, John, and Shabbat Shalom to
Shabbat
you.
Shabbat Shalom to you. It's good to be with you.
Good to see you. Before we get into today's teaching, I have to remind you about a scripture that really can apply to us today. And I was just reading it because I love to read scriptures pertaining to the end times, of course, and you all know that by now. But in Luke 21:25, which really is particularly applying to the tribulation, but as I've showed you so many times, we are seeing foreshadows of what's going to happen on a lighter note, but what's going to happen during the tribulation. But I think it's interesting because Luke says that there will be distress with perplexity and that the sea and the waves roaring.
Hmm.
Wow. This oil catastrophe, isn't it perplexing to all because they really can't figure out how to stop it? And now with hurricane season upon us, the seas and waves will be roaring. So I think that really we're seeing that kind of thing happen. Now, that's what's going to be like during the tribulation, only on 100 times worse.
Right, and that's a good reminder for us. Make that comparison. You can make that mental comparison. It's going to be worse than that.
Yes, but distress with perplexity.
Distress with perplexity.
Yes,
and that is perplexing.
We are perplexed.
We are.
You
and
know?
Even with the fantastic technology that I hear we have on the ocean floor, we still can't manage to stop this thing.
I know. It's really sad.
It is sad.
But, you know, I have to go back to the fact that God said in his Bible, if you bless Israel, and keep me in focus too,
mm-hmm.
okay? We are a country, I believe, that was founded on God. okay? And although our new president says we're not, we were. And since prayer's taken out of the school, we have seen a huge decline in our thoughts about God and our wanting to give God the glory in all these things.
Not to mention the huge decline in the grade point averages that went immediately down right after that was done.
But above all, it's how we treat Israel.
Yes, it is.
And that's going down the tubes, and now we're seeing things happening here, and I think it's going to get worse unless Obama changes, and I think we need to pray for him that I guess that he will. But then I'm always caught in the middle here because I know it has to be at its worst when Jesus calls us home.
Mm-hmm.
So in one way, I'm excited about his return, thinking that it's got to be soon with the way things are going and you know, homosexuality being glorified as it is, and abortion is just getting so out of control. I mean, I'm afraid that women are using it as birth control. It's just breaking my heart. And yet, if that means it has to be this way to fulfill prophecy because Jesus is coming soon, then I'm excited about that. But Lord, I just pray right now, if you're not coming soon, then I pray that you'll change Obama's heart and turn this nation around.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Now, the other real news thing of importance is the fact that the United States and Israel has right now Iran surrounded in at least 10 areas that I know of right now. And I'm going to explain what they are.
When did all that happen?
Well, you know, we did have a replay last week of In That Day, which I'm hoping people really got to listen to again if you missed it the first time, because that was a good show. But today we're going to be talking about Psalm 90, which kind of is on the same vein as that. But before that, I just want to say that Iran is completely surrounded. And I'm going to tell you, because it's important to know these things. And if you have a map right now, go to your map.
I
found a globe that I thought was a little bit more because they had more areas in it. But definitely you want Iran on this map that you're going to be looking at. But you can look at it and see that it is bordered, first of all, on the east by Pakistan and Afghanistan. Now, you all know that we have United States troops there.
In Afghanistan? Oh, yeah, and in Pakistan,
yes,
too?
Yeah.
Yeah, in both places.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, also the Persian Gulf, which is on Iran's southern border. And this is confirmed by the Pentagon, by the way, that we have now 11 United States warships sailed there recently, as well as an Israeli one, the last 2 weeks.
So in the Persian Gulf, we're looking at, looks like Oman, the Saudi Arabian, Republic of Saudi Arabia, whatever they call that, right? And Kuwait.
Okay, well, hold on. Yes, Kuwait, which is heavily armed by the United States, is located on the southwestern border.
Southwestern border.
Of Iran.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the country's western neighbors, which are Turkey and Iraq, well, we know we have people in Iraq.
Right.
Okay. But we also have American bases in Turkey. Now, recently, Turkey, however, has not been very friendly to either us or Israel, as they once were.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much we can use those, but the other thing is this nation of Turkmenistan.
Yes.
And that is also, is that on, you're looking at the map, is that on the western side?
It's on the eastern, northeastern side, I believe.
Okay.
Azerbaijan, you pronounced that one.
Well, wait. Okay. I don't have that yet.
Okay.
But Turkmenistan, we have the United States Army last year with advanced military cooperation, and that's just within the last year.
Okay.
But then we have the Caspian Sea and Azerbaijan, which are the northern neighbors.
Right.
And even Iran said last week that they have seen increased patrol forces in Azerbaijan, including tanks and anti-aircraft units along the border. And because they noticed this increased American activity, they've also noticed Israeli forces are also present. And this could spark a virtual war alert. In fact, it is among Iran. Iran knows exactly what's going on.
Okay, so they're on alert. They're expecting a war.
They're thinking something's going to happen.
Okay.
Now, because of that, they have canceled their flotilla of ships that was supposed to go.
Oh, to the Gaza?
Yeah.
They canceled that.
They did.
Oh,
they did.
About that.
Now, in addition, we have the Times of London reported earlier this month that Saudi Arabia has opened its airspace for Israel, which is amazing. And again, Iranian news agency, going back to Iran, it claims that they've seen Israeli helicopters unloaded military equipment at the northwestern area in Tabuk.
Hmm.
And also Israeli planes theoretically could reach Iran in the shortest possible time. Now, this is amazing.
Well,
here
that
we
is.
Have Saudi Arabia, which is an Arab country, who really doesn't recognize Israel and has treated the Jewish state with much disdain. However, the possibility of Iran's dominating the Arab world with nuclear power has changed all political scenarios. So, and again, we're dealing with Sunnis versus Shias.
Oh.
You know? And the Sunnis really aren't very happy with the Shias. They're a little more forceful. And as you know, Ahmadinejad is expecting the Mahdi to appear, but he cannot appear unless there is a war.
That's right. They're looking for that. Now, would Iran ever strike first? Is there a possibility they may strike first?
I think they would tell Syria and Lebanon to do something to Israel before they get hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see that happening. It could be. But the main thing is something is brewing. Something is going to happen.
Yeah.
And the reason we know that is because of what we've been studying the last couple months.
Psalm 83.
Okay. And several defense websites have reported that Israel is deploying also up to 3 German-made nuclear submarines in the Persian Gulf as a defensive measure against the possibility of a missile attack from Lebanon or Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, again.
So that's checkmate. So if you send us, Israel's saying, if you send missiles from Syria or Lebanon, we are just as close to your border with our missiles from the submarine. So it's a checkmate.
Yeah.
You do it to us, it'll get done to you. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, when Saudi Arabia wants us to do something, or wants Israel to do something, you know it's serious.
You know something's up there.
Yeah, yeah.
What does Saudi Arabia have to fear from Iran? Are they...
Again, it's Iran taking over.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're Sunnis and Iran is Shias.
Iran is Shia.
Two revolutionaries.
And they're very antagonistic. To
yeah,
one another, right?
They really are. I mean, they tolerate each other, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But when the rubber meets the road, Saudi Arabia does not want Iran to have nuclear weapons because they do feel, as well as the other Arab countries, that Iran will want to take over the world and use nuclear weapons to do it. I mean, that's how crazy he is.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
Now, what's also interesting, I've read, is the one person that's really holding back Israel from doing anything, and has been, is our own president,
yeah,
Obama.
Or the United States. We always tell him.
He still thinks that we can talk to them.
I don't think so.
No, because we know he wants a war.
Well, he wants a war.
Yeah.
For religious reasons.
Because he thinks he's going to win. He thinks the Mahdi's coming back to take over. And it's interesting because the enemy knows the Bible. And he knows this is what God's going to do, of course, eventually with the War of Gog and Magog.
Right.
So he's playing the whole thing out, only he thinks he's going to win, the enemy. I mean, this is what it goes back to since the beginning of time, is the war between Satan and God.
That's right.
You know? And the only reason that we are here is to choose who we want to follow.
That's right.
Okay?
Well, I'm choosing the God of Israel. How about you?
You know what? You think?
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to remind people, there is a wealth of information on my webpage, especially on the radio podcasts. You can download them for free. Go there and learn. Learn about what's going on and get some Hebraic roots teaching and end time stuff, because the people that I'm talking to really don't know what's going on.
That's true. It is kind of confusing. We live in a confusing age, but it doesn't have to be confusing.
No. Especially if you just take a little at a time.
Yeah.
You know, our president has signed, though, which is good, new stricter sanctions on Iran last week. And
That's Benjamin Netanyahu.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel is sending his closest aides to meet with Egypt tomorrow. I thought maybe it was him, too, but it's not. It's his closest aides. And then Obama will actually meet with Netanyahu on Tuesday. And I'm sure that this time it'll be a lot nicer than it was last time.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Obama's gotten a lot of pressure from congressmen who've written many letters.
Yes.
And
Well, who can figure Washington out these days anyway? But just a reminder, this is a listener-supported broadcast, and you know what? We're still looking for seven.
Yeah,
seven more
people. We had started 10, now we're seven.
We're down to seven, just seven more people to pledge $100 a month. That's approximately $3 a day to help us stay on the air. And, of course, we are thankful for any donation.
Oh, for sure. But seven more pledges of $100 a month, that would actually finish taking care of paying for this show.
Yeah.
So.
Airtime is expensive, but yeah. I think our airtime, we're getting a very good deal on this.
I think so, too.
And I've heard
that we are.
Yeah, we're not just throwing money into the wind here. This is a very good deal they're giving us here.
Exactly. Yes. And so if this program is helping you to grow in the Word, in other words, if you're being fed, then according to Paul, you should really help support us.
Yes, we need to help support. And even on a wider basis than that, if you're a believer, let's support all believers, okay?
Yes.
Let's support
each other.
Especially
your local believer.
Support your local believer.
Your local one. Amen to
that. We need to support each other. These are tough times.
They are.
Well, you know, we know
they
people
really
just
are.
Don't have a lot of money to spend for frivolous things.
This is the one thing, though, that God has said, I will bless you even if you give your last little penny.
That's right.
You
and
know?
He does.
And as Christians, we still give no matter what.
Some of us, it could be your test of faith. That's when the rubber meets the road. Are you willing? What's more important?
Yeah. And we, you know what, we're still blessed enough that we are a 501c3. I don't know how long we can remain so
right.
with things the way they're going, but we still are, which means everything is tax deductible.
Tax deductible. You're looking for a big tax shelter.
Little blessings here and there is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
Now,
what you're
someone
get
came
out?
In and told me that I'll lose my 501c3 if I stop talking, you know, negative mm-hmm. about certain things.
Yes.
I would have to lose it.
That's it.
But
Until then. But your reward will be in heaven. By the way, we have a program today, and what are we going to be teaching about?
Well, we're going to take the break, and then when we come back, as I said a few minutes ago, we replayed In That Day last time. It's a very, very important show. It was from March 6th, if you yes. want to go and listen to it on my webpage. But it showed how the seventh millennium is referred to in Scripture as In That Day. And that, of course, includes the tribulation as being the dark part of that day, that lasts 1,000 years,
mm-hmm.
which is why God set each 24 hours to begin in the dark time.
And where does that come from? Genesis.
One.
Genesis
of course.
One, of course.
One
yeah,
and
that's
two.
There was evening and morning.
Right.
And that's how.
And nobody understood. Why does he have dark first? Well,
yes.
because it's a picture of the tribulation
picture.
Period. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought today we could look at the typology of Psalm 90.
Ooh.
Okay. It's very unique in that, first of all, it was penned by Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible. So he wrote all about creation, as we know.
Hmm.
He covered creation actually at great length.
Yes, he did.
And we saw how God did the 6 days of creation, and he rested on the seventh. In this particular order, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, to teach us and give us a prophetic overview of the 6,000 years of man, and then the millennial kingdom for the last 1,000 before eternity. So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. We're going to see in Psalm 90 the attributes of not only creation, but also little references, kind of gold nuggets, to each 1,000 years of history through typology.
All in probably the oldest psalm in the book of Psalms.
That's right.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the lines will be open when we come back. If you have a question, particularly on end times, eschatology, the numbers are 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And since we cover a great big area on the radio, we would both, Sheila and I, like to visit you at your church for an evening of messianic worship and a timely message. Tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call, 440-834-9006. I'd also like to add that, just remind you again, that we still are, for now, a non-denominational 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, you're getting something out of it, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton 44021, or you can give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. And you can purchase teaching DVDs, especially on the Spring Feast, for a donation of only $15.
And we really do need your help out there. As we said before, seven more people pledging $100. We could handle the rest and renew our contract, which we're stalling. So you can call the pledge in on the air or just call and give Joe your information. He's answering the phones today. Or perhaps you'd like to help sponsor the show by advertising your company. Or maybe you can refer someone who you know has a business that would like to have some inexpensive commercials, I would say.
Yeah.
And again, you can reach me later for details by calling 440-834-9006.
Okay, one more time. Those numbers for your question is 216-901-0933 or 8677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a song by Marty Goetz, and it's called Whoever is Thirsty. Are you thirsty for God's Word?
Amen. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelak of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity, and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
This is Ron Trzynski, the Original Mattress Factory, and I would like to say thank you to all our customers. We opened the first Original Mattress location many years ago in Cleveland, Ohio, with an idea to do things differently. With our own factory, we build beds one at a time and focused on providing the best quality products to the consumer. With our own showroom, we establish what we believe to be the right way to sell mattresses and box springs, selling factory direct to eliminate unnecessary costs and provide genuine value. And with our own unique sales approach, we employ knowledgeable, courteous, and friendly sales associates who strive to educate the consumer, not pressure them. We are grateful for your support over the years. That has helped us to grow into 11 factories and over 100 retail locations nationwide. While our size has changed, our mission and our focus remain very much the same, to provide top-quality products and tremendous value. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Shop J Honda. Honda's Blue Jays.
It's taken weeks to put together, and now it's finally here. Over 500 Hondas will be available at one central location for your shopping convenience. J Honda on the Bedford Auto Mile is the event location. It's 4th of July weekend, and the deals are hot. Every Accord, CRV, Civic, Pilot, Odyssey, S2000, Ridgeline, and Hybrid would be clearly marked and discounted. With rates starting at 0.9% APR on select models, the time to buy is now, and it's never been easier to get the deal you want at J Honda. We'll give you all the information you need, and you don't even need to come in. We'll give you our best price, lease numbers, trade figures, and flexible options you probably never even thought of, all by phone, fax, or email. Before you buy or lease, we double dog dare you to compare your deals to ours. Hey, it's your money, your time, so be smart. If you're shopping for a Honda this weekend, why would you go anywhere else?
Shop J Honda, Honda's Blue Jays.
Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio.
Whoever wishes, let him come. and take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. Whoever's hungry, let him come. Whoever's needy, let him come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come. And take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. Take from the waters of life. Freely take from the waters of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say,
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Hey, that was a great song, Whoever is Thirsty, by Cleveland's own Marty Goetz, who's going to be here in a couple of weeks. I can't tell you where, but if you contact me. Go to his webpage. He's going to be here right in town. So,
as well as Paul Wilbur coming up, too.
And Paul Wilbur. And how about, what is the Water of Life, anyway?
The Water of Life, meaning definitely that...
How do you drink from the water of life, literally?
Well, of course, we are washed in the water of the Word, so what else could there be?
Oh.
The Word.
The Word. So we're going to continue drinking from that water.
That's right.
On our subject.
Okay, well, we're going to get right into our study today. And we're in the Psalm 90. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Psalm 90. And again, as I said before the break, we've got the attributes of both the 7 days of creation in Genesis, as well as references to the seven millenniums, okay? And we're going to see here in the fourth verse that a day is as a thousand years. But this, I believe, Psalm 90 is also proof that the millennial day theory is a viable concept.
Well.
Do you know what I mean by that, John?
That means that. It just didn't come up yesterday. I mean, didn't the early church teach?
Yeah, they did. We kind of lost it through the Dark Ages, but they actually, I've seen, you know, readings on that, especially from Barnabas and stuff, that the millennial day theory is a viable concept because you got to admit it. God didn't need to take 6 days.
It's also an ancient Jewish theory as well.
Amen.
Right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
All right, so we see that Moses wrote Genesis, but we also see that he wrote Psalm 90 and a few others, actually. Fund 90 through 100, I think he wrote.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not positive on the number there.
Okay.
We also have the New Testament, Paul in Acts 17, around 24 through 28, somewhere in there, that God created everything. So we have a New Testament confirmation besides just Moses.
That's right. That he did create everything.
Now, the 6 days of creation were given their particular order, of course, by divine appointment, so that they could be a prophetic overview of the 6,000 years with the seventh millennium or the 7,000th year period of time being the millennial kingdom, but beginning in the dark night. And that, of course, is a picture of
the tribulation.
That's right. Okay, and then, of course, the Sabbath rest.
And that's a picture of the millennial rest.
It is. It's the rest. Hebrews talks about this rest that's coming.
Yes.
So what I'm going to have you do, people, if you're at your Bibles open, we're going to separate these verses into the 7 days, 6 days of creation and the seventh being the millennial kingdom. So if you have just a little pen, you might want to mark off verses 1 through 4 is going to be talking about the first day. Verse 5, just the first two sentences, is talking about the second day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the rest of verse 5 going through verse 7 as the third day. And then we have the fourth day being verses 8 through, the first sentence of 10. We have a little overlap for day 5 beginning with 10 going through 11. And then the sixth day actually is represented by verses 12 and 13. And then the seventh, or the millennial kingdom, is represented by verses 14 through 17, which also is the seventh day of rest, of course. So let's go back. I'm going to read it, and then I'll explain the parts that I know. And I just want you to know that you might see things that I miss, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows different people different things. So I hope that that's the case. Maybe after the show, when you reread it and go over it, mm-hmm. That you'll see something that I missed. That's what happens.
And that's what happens.
That's right. All right. The first verse says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. Now, of course, we know on the first day of creation, he recreated, some believe, mm-hmm. the earth and the world and the mountains. And from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So in other words, he's saying right from the beginning that he always has been and he always will be God, that he's always been here.
Before the earth, before the mountains were formed,
That's right. He's
always been here.
Then we go into the third verse where it says, you turn man to destruction and say, repent or return, same word, teshuvah, O children of men. And I think that's a direct reference now to the 1,000 years, because each day is as 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So during the first 1,000 years of time, of course, we know that Adam not only sinned, but he did repent.
Right.
Okay? And he turned his life over to God. And it's just kind of shows me that man is always given a choice here. He says, return, O children. So we're given a choice to sin. And we saw that Adam did. During the very first 1,000 years of time. And it was during that year, 1,000 years, that he also, of course, had repented and then lived to be about 930. So he still died within that first 1,000 years of time.
Yes, because in that day God had said, you shall surely die. And in that day, he was referring to a thousand year. God himself was referring to a 1,000-year day.
Right, and as we said on last week's program, that a lot of people think, well, that means a spiritual death. Well, in a sense, it probably was. But when you look up the word, it's a physical death.
It's a physical death.
And he did die within that day.
A literal death, yes.
That first 1,000 years.
But he lived to be 930.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. 70 more years, he would have made it. But.
Yeah. Okay, so verse 4 says, and this again is showing you the typology here of the creation, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And like a watch in the night. So in other words, quickly.
Yes.
Life is quick.
Yes, it is.
And especially to God.
Tell me about it.
And there's that reference that each day is as 1,000 years. And of course, you can also check out 2 Peter 3:8, And he also mentions that as the day is as a thousand years.
In regard to the future events.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's day one there. And now we have verse 5 starting day 2. Okay, now this is after the first 1,000 years.
Okay.
And he says, you carry them away like a flood. They are like asleep. Now that part, I believe, is referring to day 2. And, of course, what happened on the actual second day of creation, he separated the waters.
That's true.
And on the 2,000th year of time, we have Noah's flood.
That's true.
Okay, and it says you carry them away, and it's like they are asleep. And, of course, they died. Okay? Now, what's also interesting is that the 2,000th year of time, when the flood happened, I think it's interesting that God, on this day, literally 24 hours, did not say that it was good. It's the only day that he didn't say, and it is good.
Oh, day 2?
Day 2.
Yes.
Day 3, he gives 2.
Yeah, because the things he did in day 2 were not complete.
Right, because he reconstructed the earth.
Yes.
But isn't it interesting that the 1,000th year period of day 2, for the flood, as typology, he didn't say it was good because he didn't like to destroy the earth.
No.
It was sad to him.
Well, there you go. Okay. I see the connection.
Okay.
I see the connection. We just got to be careful. We're not confused that it took 2,000 years, or it took 1,000 years for the creation of day 2. We're not,
right.
Day 2, it's just, is a picture of the 2000 or the second millennium.
The second millennium.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that. It's very important because I don't know, sometimes people tune in late and they might get confused.
Well, sometimes my mind wanders.
Well, sure it does.
And I have to catch it and bring it back.
I noticed that. But basically,
yes.
We're looking at the 6 literal days of creation,
mm-hmm.
back to 24 hours each day, but we're looking at the typology that it represents as far as each day being 1,000 years.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So the 2,000th year was definitely the flood.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the third day. And we have, in the morning, they are like grass which grows up. Well, on the third literal day, he created the grass.
Oh, that's right.
And the vegetation.
Okay. Yeah.
And he says, in the morning it flourishes and grows up, and in the evening it is cut down and withers. And in Isaiah, he refers man as being like grass.
Oh, yeah.
Who grows, withers, and dies.
Yes. Whom Peter also quotes.
That's right. But I think it's interesting now when we look at verse 7, because it says, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. Okay. What happened, John, in the third millennium of time?
The third millennium, would that have been not the flood?
No, the flood's over. That was in the second millennium.
So this would have to be the enslavement in Egypt.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It is. So here we have the third literal day being the creation of grass, but then a reference to man, and then we see the first time now that they are saying that in his anger, and it's referring, I believe, to the time they were in Egypt for 400 years, and that happened in the third millennium of time.
And that's right, and it was wrath and anger, and it was darkness, according to the covenant that I think Abraham and God made, and he had to put Abraham asleep, because it was so dark and scary, talking about the things that would happen in the future. That's another story.
Yeah, it is. Talk about confusing. No,
yes.
I'm kidding.
No, it just reminded me of that.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to stick to the 1,000-year picture of what happened in the 3,000th year of history, and it was Egypt.
It was the captivity in Egypt.
Absolutely. In fact, I think they left around between 1,200, 1,600 B.C., which would have been like 2,400 from Adam, which is the 3,000th year of time.
Yeah, that would be somewhat in the middle of the third.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Now we're going to look at the fourth period of time, and we have verses 8, 9, and a little bit of 10.
Okay.
It says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. Now, isn't it interesting that on the fourth day, what did he create?
In Genesis, he created the sun. That was the sun, moon, and the stars.
To give light
upon the earth.
So we see the reference to light, okay? So it's, the fourth day.
I'm going along with this.
Okay,
this
but in the 4,000th year of time, Let's go on. For all our days have passed away again in your wrath. They're saying something happened, okay, that made him angry, got angry. We finish our years like a sigh, talking about death, mm-hmm. and the days of our lives are 70 years. And I'll stop there, because how long were they in Babylon?
That was, the first captivity of 70 years,
it
wasn't it?
70 years.
Okay.
So not only do we see the reference to the fourth day of light, but we also see the 4,000th year was during the time of the Babylonian captivity. And again, this was their kind of punishment.
Yes, because it says they under your wrath. We were under and our years die away like a sigh in my translation.
That's right. Mine too. So now we go into day five. Okay, and this is the 5,000th year period of history. Okay, so this is after Jesus now. Okay, and we'll see a little overlapping here.
Now, you didn't mention Jesus in day
No, because
four.
It's not really here.
Okay. You don't think the light, he's the light of the light of the world?
Well, he did come at the end of 4,000th year, yeah. So, sure.
Okay.
You're right, that's good.
The light,
you'd pick up things.
Okay, because light is the light of your presence.
Yeah,
and wasn't Jesus the presence, the very
day.
Presence
yeah,
of God?
Yeah.
And wasn't he our light?
Yes.
And a light unto the Gentiles?
He did come at the end of 4,000th year, in the beginning of the fifth day. Cool.
All right.
So there's a little overlapping here. The days of our lives are 70 years, but if reason of strength, they are 80 years.
Hmm.
Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Well, what did God create on the fifth day, literally, in Genesis?
Well, he created animals, but didn't he? The fish and the birds. The birds.
Yeah, so there's a reference here to flying away. Of course, it's also a reference to us dying and our spirits flying away. But I think it's interesting that he made sure that he got that fifth day in there.
Yes. And that word for flying is the same word for bird. In Hebrew, I checked that part out.
Oh,
anyway.
Yay, good.
Yeah.
Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So we see now the third time that Moses is talking about how he's going to be angry about something.
Okay.
Okay. And, of course, it probably was the fact that they denied who Christ was. God destroyed the temple.
That's right.
But then they went off into the diaspora. And we see that they were labor and sorrow, which would represent their slavery in other countries.
Very interesting. And, you know, because this is a Psalm of Moses, you know Moses knew the history. And he warned them what would happen to them in the latter days.
Well, if told you, them in if Deuteronomy.
If you look in Deuteronomy, he warns them, this is going to happen to you in the latter days. So God, I believe, really shared with Moses some really heavy things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prophecy things.
So, again, that was the fifth day. Now let's go to the sixth day. And it says, Moses says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I think it's interesting that on the sixth day he created man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have that he says, teach us to number our days.
Yes.
I think he's talking about man in general.
You think?
Yes.
Yes.
The lifespan from Adam until the resurrection. 6,000 years.
6,000 years, and that's the day of man, and that number six, mm-hmm. of course, and that's the picture from there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it might be interesting to mention, too, that the word count or days, it actually has the meaning, the original word has the meaning of weigh or weight, weigh out our days.
Oh, okay.
Does that shed any light for you on that?
Well, in a way it does, because at the end, at the resurrection, those things will be weighed out.
Oh,
you know?
That's right.
So, and then you could also even hit it another time is when we go up to heaven and get our rewards. You know, it'll be weighed out according to the deeds that we've done versus, you know, that weren't so good and
no, I like that.
Taken away.
I like
know?
That.
So there is some weighing out there of that. But he goes on in 13, still the sixth day, return, O Lord. Really?
Yeah.
How long? And have compassion on your servants. Well, that makes perfect, total sense to me.
Mm.
Because, again, on the sixth day, Adam was created. And by this example, we can have wisdom because of the typology. We can know the duration of man.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
we can. And then Jesus Christ to call us home, returning for us, the bride, and then returning again years later at the end of the tribulation, showing compassion on his servants.
That's right.
Those that will be left behind.
Yes. And again, as Paul wrote in that day that all of Israel will be saved.
That's right.
And that's when God, I believe, going to take pity on his servants, and he's going to fill us at the daybreak. Now, isn't that interesting that he uses the word daybreak with his love? Fill us at daybreak with your love.
Where's that?
I get that out of verse 14 in my translation.
Oh, okay. Yes. I haven't gotten to that yet.
So they've already gone through the night has passed, and now it's daybreak, and, you don't have that in yours. Okay. Interesting.
So anyway, we know that the resurrection will return. Jesus will call us home at the end of 6,000 years, and that's verse 13. Definitely having compassion on us, because I'm longing for that.
Yes.
But verse 14 through 17, then, I believe, is describing that seventh day of rest,
yes,
the last millennial kingdom, as we call it. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy. And I believe that means early in the seventh day.
Right, right.
Okay.
That means it,
right,
like
away.
My verse says, the daybreak.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. That's where you got that.
Yes.
All right. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days or forever.
Mm-hmm.
Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. So they're asking, please, at least that.
Yeah, at least for let our joy last as long as our days of sorrow,
Exactly. In the years in which we will have seen evil.
Mm-hmm.
Let your work appear to your servants.
That's interesting.
And your glory to their children. In other words, let us understand. I think that means.
I think you're right.
Let us see why it all had to be the way it had to be. We'll understand everything later. And we will.
Yes.
And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and it will be, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So is this saying that during the millennial kingdom that they're still going to have to work?
I think so. Because, we were made to work. God designed us to work. We get a lot of satisfaction from work and serving the Lord.
Let's turn to Psalm 65 real quick, because it's referring to this millennial kingdom. We only have about 5 minutes, but I think we got enough time to do this. I'm going to say Isaiah 65, verse 20. And it gives a great description. I'm going to read kind of fast, okay?
From Isaiah or Psalm 65?
Did I say Psalm?
Yeah.
I meant Isaiah.
Isaiah 65.
Sorry.
So we're going to Isaiah 65.
You can tell this is a live show, right?
Yes, you can.
Yes, Isaiah. Yeah. I get so excited, and then I get in a hurry, and of course, Isaiah 65, verse 20 is describing the millennial kingdom, and I'm going to start reading. It says, no more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. So what he's saying is that people are going to live a really long time.
Yeah.
And if you die, even at 100, you're going to be considered a child.
Oh, is that what it's saying?
That's what I get out of it.
Yeah.
Verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. Well, that's work.
Yes, that
they
is work.
They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he explains in verse 22 that they shall not build and another inhabit.
Okay,
they shall not plant and another eat. So in other words, you'll be doing it for just yourself. And it'll be easy. You'll just throw the seed on the ground and it'll pop up.
Yes.
Vegetation and everything. And then
and
he goes
they will
on,
not plant. There will be no diaspora or there will be no.
No, everything will be glorious.
Yes. Okay.
Sort of like the Garden of Eden.
In other words, they're going to be in the land to enjoy the fruit.
You may.
They're not going to be banished from the land.
For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. Well, how old can a tree live?
They have found the trees that are at least 1,000 years old.
That's right.
So, that's a lot of rain
here's
counting.
The story, what I've read.
Yes.
If you sin, you'll probably die. But if you don't, you're going to live as long as the tree. That's really what it's saying.
That's cool.
Okay? Because you'll still be able to sin. Although the devil will be tied up. So you can't say the devil made me do it.
No, you can't.
All your own heart. Verse 23, again, just clarifies, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. Wow, all the kids that are born will be good kids.
Yeah.
For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer them. I will, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. Okay?
Well, so the serpent's food doesn't change, does it?
Well, they eat animals now, but they won't later.
Oh, okay.
They'll just eat dust.
They'll just eat dust, okay.
They shall not hurt nor destroy at all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And I think this holy mountain is referring to the government of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes mountains are referred to governments.
That's right.
Okay. So what do you think? Do we have a good lesson today?
I think we did. I think looking at the Psalms in that light was just wonderful.
I do believe out there, those that are really taking this show seriously and always have their Bibles open and are studying, as I know if you are, read it again because you'll probably see things that I probably missed, as you did today.
Yes. And plus I learned so much because I didn't know that much last night. How much time do we have left? I can't see.
1 minute.
We've got one
so
minute.
We got to get going.
Well, okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll be back here next week.
Okay.
Looking forward to that.
And this one thing I've got to mention: if you're listening today, you've never asked Jesus to come personally into your heart and life, do it now. Repent for your sins, and before it's too late, really. And study your scripture while you still can. Turn to your Messiah, and He will give you light.
That's right.
Okay. So remember, any and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner with us here. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021.
Okay.
The Lord Shalom.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper, not maybe, shall.
And witness to somebody this week.
Good idea.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.